Never heard.
You've never heard the word tabard before?
Never heard the word tabard.
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 Well, that made.
Is it a northern word?
I don't think so. I think it's
What does it even mean?
I think it's like a piece of clothing that dinner ladies wear in schools. Let me just Google it. I
Like
just
apron type things.
no.
Tabard, tabard.
Why do you have to say it differently? Just say it for what it is.
Tabard,
Tabard.
tabard.
Yeah, it's that here. Look, that's a tabard.
Yeah, got it. Know what it
Yeah?
is. Yeah.
It's a tabard. See? And there's a woman there wearing it. It's got dear lady written all over it, hasn't it?
An apron where I'm from, but whatever.
Where you're from is
It
irrelevant.
stood still a good word answer,
Where
not
you're from is irrelevant because no one likes it. No one likes where you're from. I don't think I've ever met a person who's gone, Birmingham's lovely. Birmingham's a great place to live.
Birmingham. I live close to Birmingham.
No. It was.
Exactly. He's a twat, isn't he?
What's your postcode?
B75.
Birmingham 75, you tit.
I don't live in Birmingham.
You do. You do. You
No, I
do.
don't.
What was your favorite? What was your favorite school dinner? Dinner, I said then.
Oh.
What was your favorite? And dessert.
Dessert was dessert was chocolate concrete and custard.
What? Chocolate concrete.
Chocolate concrete and custard. Basically a brownie, but it was so hard we used to call it concrete.
Ah, right, okay. Did you
And
used to have different coloured custard?
yeah, there was green.
Why
I remember it being green like a
did
mint.
they do that?
Yeah,
Green, pink, yeah.
I can't actually remember the actual dinners. That's the only thing I remember from like school dinners.
Sausage, mash, and gravy, right? With peas, obviously. And then apple crumble.
That's a good chat, actually. Yeah. Yeah.
Apple crumble with ice cream, not custard, with ice cream.
We didn't have ice cream.
Birmingham in it, that's why.
Yeah,
I'm
baby.
just looking at Carl's reply from me stitching him up in the group. What is it? Oh, he's just done his little emoji things or whatever he calls. Brilliant. Right. Anyway, less of the personal jokes. Private jokes that nobody knows what we're fucking talking about. I'm going to ask the first question.
If you could only tell a newly qualified PT one bit of advice, what would it
Oh, I'm not gonna lie, I hate these questions. I hate them because there's so much. If I could tell a newly qualified PT one bit of advice, what would it be? Right, bear with me with the pause because I was really prepared to ask Nick this question. you prick. Oh, this is, it's one of them questions like watch name me your best movie, isn't it, this? And you're like, shit, I can't think. So my one bit of advice that I would tell a newly qualified PT. Oh, it's really standard advice. But be mega clear on what it is that you want and you need, because that dictates everything. And I know it's boring advice, but the clearer you are on what it is that you want and you need, I think it also benefits you in with certain things like not comparing yourself too much and it getting you down. Self-limiting beliefs, self-doubt, because you've just got a specific goal, specific target. And it's kind of a bit of a UVU mentality to go and reach it. So the clearer you can be on that, everything else will snowball off the back of it if you put the, if you take put the action in. I probably would lend to a more of a character trait bit of advice, but I think personally, if you want to build a really good, strong fitness business, then you can't, I can't move away from making sure that you're really, really clear on what's important to you, what you want and what you need. What would you, come on, go on, go on.
Carry on.
No, go on. What would you say?
Treat the first 3 to 5 years as a constant learning curve. That's what I'd say.
Next question. I have a competition winner who is coming to the end of her 3-month prize coaching period. I've booked her in a session to sit down and talk about her experience and see if she hopefully wants to carry on working together. Any advice on what to cover? What sort of questions to ask? How to approach things?
Yeah, treat it like you say, like have some reflective questions about where she was prior to starting with you, how she, where, what she's gained from the last 3 months, what she sees herself doing in the future in regards to kind of her goal with exercise, training, lifestyle, nutrition, and what challenges she foresees or she's experiencing now, and then help her overcome those. And hopefully, obviously, being that the main thing would be to continue working with you. So I think get really, really specific on the goals, highlight and dig into the barriers, future pace, what that next phase of training would be like together. And yeah, so it's a more, it's a much better position, but than at the start, but a consultation, yeah. Needs analysis, barriers, create a lot of autonomy, loads of open questions, and build out the next 3 months together. Make it a collaboration. Anything else you would add?
No, just for future reference, I would just say that if you were to do it again, and for anyone else who does do this, probably over that 3-month period, if you haven't, check, make sure that you have these styles of conversations that you're going to have at the end in the process too. So like maybe at week 4, maybe at week 8, depending on the person, because that'll set up. It doesn't then feel like all your eggs are in this basket to see if they can then convert them into the business. Yeah, try and have some of these styles of conversations before.
What do I do when I know I should be doing something, but I don't know what? I sometimes feel guilty for taking time away from my business because I'm not where I need to be. But because I don't know what I should be doing, I'd be forcing myself to do something that ultimately may not be productive.
Listen, I think for context for people listening, like this is from a fairly a person who's only been in the mentorship for a week or so. So there is also that overwhelming feeling that I know there's loads to do within business, especially when you're around or have just entered a mentorship when you know other PTs are doing them things, but you're not sure which to focus on and where to start. So I think my first bit of advice on this is going back to actually what I would say a minute ago is being clear on what it is that you want and what it is that you need. So really establishing your clear goals and vision and plan, because I could sit here and list a number of kind of weekly tasks or weekly focuses that I believe should be in every single coaching business, but they might not be relevant to the person asking the question. So being crystal clear on what it is that you want and need. Now, if we were to then go, right, generally, let me just read the question so I don't go off on a tangent. One sec. I don't know what I'm sometimes guilty of taking time away from business and be forcing myself to do something. Okay, yeah. Generally, there will be some set tasks in every coaching business. Like there'll be a part of your week where you have to do marketing once, twice, and that marketing will have different streams of work. Whereas, for example, your content on social media you can break that down into finding ideas for content, creating the content ideas, creating the scripts and all of that, delivering on that, and then scheduling it. So that's like breaking all of that down, writing your emails to follow up on leads that you get, creating lead magnets, all of that type of stuff, the direct marketing. So that should be present in every single person's week. What else should be present is, well, is more than likely, if you've got quite a few clients in your business, then you need to have an element of collective client engagement where you're making sure this part of your week where you're checking in with them as a group, potentially, and then individually as well, whether that's by feedback over check-ins, whether that's by calls, whether that's by messages to people who are struggling or whatever, just to keep them engaged, whatever that might look like. So there's tasks like that. I've only covered two areas there. You might have service and product developments that you want to take into consideration. Like when you come into the mentorship, a lot of people assess their whole client journey and then start to make changes in their service and product, whether that's your onboarding or whatever. But all of that should be present within your working week. So the first thing that I would look at is, if you feel like this, and we're going to do a live on this in a minute, actually. But if you feel like this, where you feel like you could do more and you could be spending your time more wisely and being more productive, I would look at your schedule and I would look at the percentage of time but in business versus on business. So for argument's sake, this is an online coach. So in business would be talking to your clients, doing check-ins, feedbacks, all of that type of stuff. On business is the stuff that I've just gone through. I would look at the percentage difference within your week. Now, normally most PTs are very heavy in business and not so heavy on business, okay? So I would be looking at how I can split my week up, give myself time blocks, give myself tasks within that time block. And then I know that I'm doing everything I can to move and operate and move the business forward, basically. So I'd do a little mini audit. What does my week look like? Where should I be spending my time? That's dictated off your goals and plan, but it's also dictated off the stuff that I've just gone through. Where does that go? And then I would take it a step at a time from there, because what you'll find is, as you're more productive in them areas, you'll start getting more leads, you'll start getting more clients, you're dealing with more people. So that week will gradually fill up with the productive things anyway. But yeah, that'd be my advice. Anything you'd add to that, Nick?
No.
Good. Good, Nick.
Next.
Yeah, I understand that. I'm just refreshing the fucking job form, all right?
Hungry man, aren't you?
I'm not a hungry man. Yeah,
angry.
Yeah, I'm only angry when I'm speaking to you. You knobhead.
End of your life is it? Lives in anger.
Yeah. What are the weekly, monthly, and quarterly non-negotiable tasks I need to be doing to run a successful PT business?
I think the first thing is looking. Let's start with quarterly and then break it. So, firstly, a quarterly plan across. First of all, like looking at what you want to achieve in the business by the end of that particular quarter, then breaking that down into months. I think the quarterly, like high level plan for the pillars of your business, from right, what marketing are going to be doing in the different months of that quarter, which aligns with the target. What development am I doing from a service perspective to facilitate that target as well. And also things that will go under like pouring time back, that might be increasing your yield, whatever. Things like client engagement, how you create in the community, how you engage in the clients outside of the sessions, how you bringing them together, how you creating an incredible experience. I think any upskilling or any development, personal development and professional development as well. So a kind of high level plan across those work blocks. Then taking those work blocks and then breaking them down into the month. So then you have more detailed plan for each month, which aligns with the quarterly goal. Same work blocks in regards to marketing that is aligned with the sales targets and bringing the leads in to meet those sales targets. And all of those planned out into your schedule. And then again, that loan broken down into smaller bits into your weekly and daily schedule. And all of those are all those work blocks are going to be off you having a really clear, same answer I gave earlier, really clear goal on what you want the business to look like. So those are, I mean, we could literally list out hundreds of tasks that might go into that. But ultimately, if you break down then marketing into, well, what's your marketing mediums? Is it the gym floor? Is it social media? Is it local businesses? Is it emails? Right. Whichever ones those are, I need to schedule time in to facilitate those, whether it's content creation or gym floor lead gen or reaching out to businesses, going in, and the list goes on. So I think it's all going to start with that high level plan, in my opinion, because otherwise you'll be reactive and you'll be chasing your tail. And you get to the first of the month and going, right, what should I do? Trying to decide, take a week to decide, take another week to try and get something up and going. You're halfway through the month and you're on the back foot. So it all comes off the back of that, in my opinion. Anything you'd add, Anthony?
No.
I was going to say, for anyone listening, he's just making one of his stupid faces. Let's be honest, he's got a stupid face anyway. Next question. One sec, just refreshing the page. Please hold.
Shit chat.
You're a shit chap, I know. Taking my clients on a hike in a few weeks, should I get them to sign a waiver?
No. I mean, I suppose there's no harm, but I think if it's just a place that everybody can usually just go and meet up and walk, I don't see it being a problem personally, but I suppose there's no harm in just getting them to sign something. That would be my advice. I don't think you need to, though. That's all right, isn't it, Nick? I'm not fucking breaching health and safety here, am I?
No.
Your input is shite today. Did you notice any alarming trends from PTs and coaches during your chats at the weekend?
No, not directly. I think overall it was the kind of feedback was a hell of a lot about scaling, wasn't it? It was a lot about scaling. It was a lot about, scaling businesses. And I think that teed us up. And to be honest, I think the people that we got to our talks were kind of aligned in what we were going through. I got that kind of feedback from a lot of them, which is great. But I think one of the big things we found, and listen, we're only in PerformX for like pretty much the afternoon, so we missed two thirds, you know what I'm saying, most of it. But generally, we got the kind of feedback that it was a lot about scaling, a lot about and taking the focus, I think, well, no, not taking the focus off personalized individual coaching, but not mixing that in with the message and giving context, I think, which hopefully we did. So yeah, that was a kind of big thing. But again, mate, that's through limited, you know, we were literally there for half a day, really. What was your takeaway or alarming trends, anything?
There is a distinct difference between, in my opinion, the people at the Coaches Collective event and the people at PerformX. I feel like the questions that were asked at PerformX were all, like you just said, scale-based. How can I make more money? How can I make this and all of that? Which is fine, whatever. Whereas the questions in and around the Coaches Collective event were very much based around improving as a coach. So that was the difference in trends between the two events, in my opinion. And I think that is because the Coaches Collective picked six speakers that were going to improve the way people coached. And I think that's because PerformX picked speakers who were going to talk about growing, scaling, making 10K months.
So yeah, it kind of attracted the audiences that you would have expected them to do off the back of the speakers that they brought in. Yeah, but there was no real alarming trends. There was no real where I was like, fuck, this is, we've missed something here, or this is changing or anything like that. Nothing really. No, that's it.
I'm very invested in my clients, and when they are going through some fairly major life crap, I carry that with me. How would you advise me to leave that at the gym at the front door when I get home? Good question.
It is a really good question. And it's a challenge for me to answer, right? And I'm going to sound like I'm really cold-hearted here, but no, not cold-hearted. It's just who I am as a person. I think I've always found it quite easy, and this is probably something that I've needed to address over the years, but quite easy to not talk about work at home. So this is quite challenging for me to answer. I think, yeah, and you could probably vouch for this, because the stuff that you would have expected, let's say, me to talk to Stacey about in my own time when we've had meetings before and it's not even come up, because I just genuinely hardly speak about work at home. So it's a challenge for me to answer this. So just let me have a think. I think personally, there's a level of acceptance on if that's who you are, that's who you are. And my advice would be, and this is very much just subjective advice from what I would advise, let's say, a friend or people around me, of going, I think, first of all, speaking to the people that you are at home, partner and all of that, and just explain that that's kind of sometimes how you're going to bring stuff like that home. And actually, I think what that might do is open an opportunity to be able to speak about it and offload. And I know that's just common sense advice. I get that. But I also think if people understand, then it's easier to speak about at home. Because I've definitely, probably the stuff that's gone on at work or anything, I bring my frustrations home sometimes, and maybe I'm different and so on. And I think that's quite normal. And maybe that would be a bit of advice that I need to give myself as well within that perspective to kind of chat through stuff like that more. So I think, first of all, I think accept it. It's who you are as a person. And I think that's a really good thing personally. And I know that might be grinding away at you and maybe getting in a way at home or in the way of your mood and how you are and stuff like that. So it must be difficult. But I would definitely open a conversation with people at home as a way to, a means to speak about it and offload, and hopefully that makes you feel better. I think I'm just going to list off things, as I would do, looking for solutions on this, is maybe it's emptying whatever it is in your head onto paper before you finish work, to see if that helps, so you can offload everything that's in your head and kind of journal it. I think that might be a really good shout, where you sit down and just dump all of your thoughts there in order to kind of close them for the weekend and pick them back up when you need to. So I think, listen, that was a challenging question for me to answer, and I've probably given you advice as I would do a friend in that scenario. But I think it's only challenging because probably guilty of being the complete opposite to it sometimes. That sounds really bad, but it's just who I am. What advice would you give on that?
Yeah, I think journaling is, because if you take things on, you kind of identifies a little bit that you're an empath. So I think being able to get that out and use that kind of channel of journaling, I think is big. I think it would be big. But I think there's also an element that will get better with the more you go and the more you do it and the more clients you have over the years, it will get easier. I think there's some level of acceptance as well, that because I think I was like that for the first few years, Definitely. But it was from a place of, I guess, is it an insecurity? Maybe a bit of an insecurity that I couldn't solve. I had felt like I had to have the right answer. Do you know what I mean? And give the right advice. And I think the realization is that a lot of people will just talk to get it out and not really need or want advice. I think that's maybe a little bit of an acceptance. But yeah, I think it will definitely get easier, 100% get easier. It will, 100%. But then, mate, you know, one of the things I would agree with, Ant, is try and getting that out of your head before you go into your personal time. So it's a bit of an outlet, and see how that works for you. It's a difficult one. It is.
Yeah. And it's hard not to pull on your own kind of personal experience of it and stuff like that, isn't it? Because there's definitely times where I probably brought stuff on with me, but I'll do it in a different way. Do you know what I mean? Yeah, it's a tough one because I think in every workplace, in most people will bring certain things home with them. Like, I think it's just the nature of being in a job where you're dealing with people in the ways that you are doing it. It actually makes you as well admire people in other positions of, like, you think about what other, you know what I mean, other industries and what they go through, of whether it's bloody therapists, whether it's nurses, whether it's doctors and stuff like that. It does make you respect that a little bit more, doesn't it? Because some clients really do open up, and you do, some people obviously will take that in and carry it. So listen, I think also to end this on a more, probably a more positive note, I think that is also such a huge advantage within your job that where, and you, most of you, well, all of you as coaches should be proud that you're in a position where people can open up and speak to you and put themselves in a position where they can offload a little bit, because that clearly helps them far more than your coaching on the gym floor, for example. Although difficult, but fucking hell, it's a rewarding job at times, isn't it? And we underestimate it sometimes. In let people, coaches throw away. Like we asked the question at the weekend, didn't we, in regards to what is your role as a coach? And someone said therapist, and I'm like, I don't like that. I don't like that when people relate it to that. But I understand why you would. Yeah. You know what I mean? But yeah, some coping strategies like that, journaling stuff, might help. Maybe. Yeah. Is that the last question?
Last question.
That was a good one to end on, to be fair. Any final thoughts there, Nick?
No, have you?
Have I got any final thoughts? Yeah, I have actually. I've got one final thought. If you're a coach who's got to the end of this podcast and you haven't booked in some annual leave for yourself to take time away from the business yet this year, you should do it. I think sometimes most coaches can get to this part of the year and start to feel a bit mentally drained, and not burnt out is an overused term in my opinion, but yeah, a bit knackered, and maybe the quality's not there and all of that type of stuff, but not have any time booked out because of not sure how to deal with it, guilt, lots to do, all of that. But this is your cue and trigger to get it booked if you haven't. I'm just going to send you my annual leave now. All right, mate. See you in a bit, yeah? Tonight.